It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
Continuing a series on some of the basic stuff you do in a lot of marriage counseling. You're always talking about the purpose and process of marriage. We dealt quite a bit with the purpose last week, getting into the process this week, but you want to kind of recap a bit.
And I want to take just a minute before we get going. You know, when we see things like what are happening in around the world today, and I'm just speaking primarily about the horrible things happening in Afghanistan, it almost seems like the only appropriate topic for radio is prayer. Mm. And I want to encourage people that are listening to me. We're going to be talking about the process of marriage. We're going to recap on the purpose here. And a lot of that purpose has to do with just exactly this kind of thing, recognizing that people, although they're on the other side of the world, they still have a destiny in God, and they're members of the body of Christ, many of them, and they need our prayers. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't fasted before, now would be a good time to do that. If you can fast a day or a couple of days and pray in earnest for the people over there, the saved and the unsaved.
You've developed a relationship with some people, not in Afghanistan so much, but Pakistan.
Which is close. And it's really broadened my vision as far as the global body of Christ, and just kind of feeling the heartbeat there and sharing prayers back and forth, just as though it were your next door neighbor. Mm. So it's an important thing.
Yeah.
So, when people come to counseling for marriage, they come to counseling because the process is failing. And the reason the process fails to satisfy largely is because there's no meaning. There's no purposeful context for that process. And we talked some about that last time. So there's nothing to guide it. Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perish or wander aimlessly. So without a purpose, people tend to spend their time finding fault with others, and that's a lot of what we find in marriage counseling, people arguing over situations and circumstances. And have you ever heard this, Mark? I sure heard this a lot from my parents. You kids find something to do, I'll put you to work.
Right.
Did your parents ever say that?
I've heard that, yeah.
I've heard my parents said that, and I've heard it said by parents, you kids find something to do, or I'll put you to work. And so what did we need as kids? We needed some kind of a task that was of greater value than the thing we were bickering about. And I think that that's the thing that's missing in marriages, is a purpose. But not just a purpose, as we alluded to last week, but the purpose. So God has only one purpose on earth. He's only ever had one ultimate purpose, and that is the perfecting of the body of Christ. So if you've been on a journey in your marriage to find a purpose for your marriage, I just gave you the shortcut. The purpose for your marriage is to serve the body of Christ. And this is a real paradigm shift for a lot of people, particularly possibly here in the West. We have a difficult time with our rights and our privileges. Thank God for them. But they make it difficult sometimes for us to think in terms of community, and particularly as we've become more divided in recent decades, in recent years, thinking in terms of community, giving up some of my privacy, giving up some of my time to serve a larger purpose. So we're talking about not a purpose, but the purpose. It's not a social benefit of marriage, which is probably what most people talk about when they talk about the purpose of marriage. They talk about raising children, healthy families, healthy society, healthy country, healthy nation. But these are benefits of marriage, but they're not necessarily the objective, the purpose of marriage. So we're talking about the ontological, teleological purpose. Ontological, We sometimes hear people use the word ontological interchangeably with absolute, the absolute purpose. Ontology has to do with the purest categories that things can be reduced to, the most fundamental things we can know, or what is the basic, most absolute truth about a thing. So we're talking about an ontological purpose. We're talking about a teleological purpose, referring to a goal or an aim, but over a long distance, as telegraph, telephone, telescope.
What's that word? Teleological?
Teleology. Okay. From the Latin teleo.
Just like telescope.
Telescope, okay. Telephone, mm-hmm. Television, telepath, mm-hmm. Telepathy, I think is the mm-hmm. way it's pronounced. Mm-hmm. So the absolute purpose of marriage begins at a source. So we talk about a telephone or a television. There's a source, and it's broadcast over a distance or over time. So the absolute, ontological or absolute purpose of marriage begins at its source, which is God's nature, and it extends for all of time. So we're not just talking about a purpose, like let's be financially free by our 35th anniversary. We're not just talking about a purpose. We're talking about the purpose, the absolute beginning to end, the purpose of your marriage. Marriage belongs to Christ. It belongs to the body of Christ. That's where it finds its meaning. Well, we go to Ephesians 4:16, as we did last week, and we talk about speaking of the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. A joint is a relationship, two things coming together, according to the effectual working. Effectual working is a working. It's the same with the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. It has to do with movement toward a specific goal. It's effectual if it's moving toward a specific goal. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part or every individual, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So joined together and compacted by that which every joint or relationship supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So think of an assembly line. You have we have big factories around here. We've got Boeing. So you have different departments, and different departments are responsible for putting together different components. So what makes the component correct? You could imagine people in different departments at Boeing, each working on their individual component, and they say in department A, they say, well, I like the looks of what we've done here. It looks pretty good to me. Let's call it finished. And in department B, they're saying the same thing. I like the looks of ours. The problem is that the components aren't going together. And so, we want to keep ours our way because it looks so aesthetic, you know, we like to, but it's only correct. The part is correct. Yeah, when it parts are correct when they fit together so as to function properly in the effectual, again, that word effectual, in the effectual working of the overall product. So a marriage is on track when it fits together in the body of Christ so as to function properly in the effectual working of the body of Christ. So this is the correct context and the stage setting for the marriage process. And I want to say this as strongly as I can. This is the correct context, this service to the body of Christ is the correct context and setting, stage setting for the marriage process. Anything else is a secular marriage to which no biblical blessing can apply. So let me say that again. This work of the body of Christ is the correct context and stage setting of the marriage process. So you've come to counseling for marriage to counsel your marriage process, but it needs a setting, it needs a context, because the process can only be correct if it fits with another, jointly fit together, another with other components, other relationships, and they fit together so as to function properly in the effectual working of the overall project, which is the body of Christ.
People lose sight of this. You're saying that you need to have a good marriage so you can bless the body of Christ as opposed to just bless each other.
Exactly.
People don't think about that,
yes.
that part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying here is that anything else is actually a secular marriage. You may have been married in the church and both born again and married in the church. You may be even attending church. You may even have a ministry in church, but you're fighting at home. You may be pastors, you may be elders, you may be missionaries, but you're fighting at home. Things aren't settled at home. And so you actually have a secular marriage, and the biblical blessings don't apply to it unless that marriage is being guided by that ultimate purpose, that ontological or absolute purpose.
Mm.
So we remember Romans 8:28. All things work together for those for the good of those who love God and are not called according to His purpose. So let's break that down. All things work together for good, and the good is not necessarily pleasure or advancement or advantage, better finance, but this good is the term good here is in the context of God's purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God, and we know how we should love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. So when the Bible says love God, you have to assume that it's talking about that total love with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. New Testament says soul and mind. It's the same thing. So it's not just simply a dutiful affection. It is the love of God with a total love of God. So all things work together for the good of those who totally love God and are the called according to His purpose, not according to my purpose or something that's simply beneficial to our marriage or to society or to our finances, etc., but according to His purpose. And as we've laid out here and last week too, the purpose of God, His singular purpose on earth, has ultimately to do with the building up of the body of Christ. Because we have that great marriage to look forward to, and then we have eternity, and all of these things are building blocks for that. So when we come to our next section, we're going to zero in a little bit more on the process, and we're going to talk about things that I talk about in counseling somewhat and some more scriptures, but this all only makes sense in the context of the proper purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the purpose and process specifically this week on purpose and process of marriage with Daniel Pryor. People are going through some marital issues. They need help. How did they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these radio shows and the podcasts. Offices, Kirkland Edmonds, also still doing Skype counseling.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel taking us through the purpose and now more the process of marriage. I like that point you were making, Daniel, how everybody's got to do their part. Otherwise, you get a lot of bad sounds. It brings me back to the days when I was part of the Seattle Symphony Chorale and doing the Beethoven 9, mm-hmm. you know, with a huge orchestra, huge choir,
yeah,
and sitting up there and watching it all come together and knowing all the practice, mm-hmm, we had done beforehand and, mm-hmm, a lot of bad notes and stuff, yeah, out of time, but, uh-huh, he'd pull it all together for the performance, and it was a wonder to, yeah, behold and a wonder to hear too. Uh-huh.
You were the technician then?
No, I was in the choir.
You were in the choir.
I was in the bass section.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I was in the bass section, but I had a great, uh-huh, view of everything, uh-huh, sitting up there on,
sure,
the, on the risers, you know, and, uh-huh, watching. I was back there when Jerry Schwartz was the, mm-hmm, conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled it all together, and it was just always just a marvel, very satisfying, yeah, uh-huh, experience.
Well, that reminds me, Mark, of an appropriate tale from my days in singing in choir. And there was a fellow that stood pretty close to me, and the instructor would come along listening. He would walk between the rows, and he was listening for people that were a little bit off.
Right.
And what he had to say about this person was, those notes you're singing, they sound really nice, but they're not on the paper.
Right, right.
And
we had choir police like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of times that's the way marriages are. Mm. It's not that you're doing things that are in and of themselves wrong, but they're not on the paper. Mm. They're off task. They don't have to do with the purpose, and that's where the process fails. Mm. It's not guided by a purpose. So the process of marriage then, if we could summarize this, is God using individuals to refine each other, working out salvation in a unique and intimate relationship context. Now, we know about work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we apply that to the individual. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, I'm working out my salvation. But the marriage has a salvation to work out as well. So as I say, God using individuals to refine each other, working out salvation in a unique and intimate relational context. And all of this to increase and edify the body of Christ to the end that the body of Christ will grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ and do the greater things that Christ referred to in John 14. So what a program. We're in these individual marriages and individual families, but God is using us to refine each other in this unique and intimate relational context. You know, the thing about marriage is, and God says, don't leave this relationship, and then the heat kind of gets turned up. I've thought about marriage sometimes as this term in, I think it's Hosea, Ben Arbel, God's house of ambush, where God takes us into the marriage relationship, and then he locks the door, and then he turns up the heat, and he's able to, if we allow him, he's able to in marriage deal with us at a much deeper level, maturing us at a much deeper level if we'll allow that to happen. And it's all to increase the body of Christ. At the end of the body of Christ will grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ and do the greater things that Jesus referred to in John 14:12. So for any marriage, the particular process reflects the spiritual work that God deems necessary for the good of the union to bring about his purpose in the body of Christ. Again, people come for it. Doesn't one shoe doesn't fit all? One person said to me, "One shoe doesn't fit all," and I say, "Yes, but we all wear shoes." There are some uniquenesses in the way that you deal with individual couples that come for counseling. No two are alike, but there are some basic things that are always the same. That particular process, as I say, reflects the spiritual work that God deems necessary for the good of the union, the marriage, to bring about his purpose in the body of Christ. So we can apply Hebrews 12:1 to marriages just as we do to individuals. We've talked about this recently, seeing that we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And run the race set before us. And we apply that to the individual. The individual says, I need to lay aside the weights in my life. They're not immoral. they're not wrong in and of themselves, but they're holding me back from running the race that's set before me. So each individual has to determine, what is the race that's set before me? What does God have me to do? What is he telling me to do? That's the race set before me, and what's holding me back? Marriages are the same way. A marriage has a mission. A marriage has a race to run, something in the body of Christ. It doesn't have to be a pastorship or an eldership or a deaconship. As we said at the beginning of the show, there's a call for prayer like never before in our lives, and it's not a simple thing, and it's not it's a very extremely important thing. Prayer is the life flow of the body of Christ. It's how the head Christ communicates with all the members of the body is through prayer. Guided by the Holy Spirit. So it's not a small thing, and there are many. Couples who could be, should be, having ministries of prayer that are busy arguing over process. So we can apply this, lay aside the weights, lay aside the sins, if there are sins that are besetting us, and run the race that's set before us. So I try to teach married couples lots of process tools. Tools that having to do with the process. We talk about personalities. Those are important in counseling individuals because the marriage is made up of two persons, two personalities. So, you know, where do they come from? How do they develop? And can they change or be improved? You know, a lot of people erroneously think that once a person has a certain personality, that can't be changed. It can be altered. Difficulty that I run into sometimes is people getting a diagnosis of a personality disorder and using that as like a permanent,
right.
Permanent condition. You mm-hmm. know, narcissist is a real popular one. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes to point at someone else and say
that's considered a mental illness now. Narcissism,
yeah, and it's considered. It was interesting. I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, if a person is a schizophrenic, we say, "Oh, they're schizophrenic," and we have some sense of pity. If a person is a paranoid, we have some sense of pity, but if they're narcissistic, no pity at all.
That's a sin.
That's a sin. It's not a personality. It's a sinful personality.
Right.
So we don't even really believe the things that we talk about. That is, we haven't thought them out enough to really understand them a lot of times. So we talk about personalities. We talk about communication, talk a lot about communications because that's fundamental to the process of marriage. How do you communicate? How do you commune? We've talked about that. We talk about the triad, don't we? We talk about building trust, forgiveness, and communion. We talk about managing stress, dealing with negative emotions. We talk about dealing with behavioral modifications, anger management, overcoming addictions, all kinds of addictions. Sometimes we talk about healthy sexual behavior. I've actually done quite a bit of writing on that at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Well, I'll link the article anyway. And we did a number of radio shows some years back, a whole series on sex and marriage, I think. All of these are they're both general in a sense because all married couples need to address these issues, but the problems within the context of each issue, those are unique to the couples because of unique personalities and family of origin influences that we've had. We talk about all these things. These are all part of the process of marriage, and they can be all be improved upon, changed. A lot to learn about these things. Talk about the inbox when we talk about managing stress, and people can certainly learn how to be more organized, be more sequential instead of random. Whether you're a concrete thinker or an abstract thinker, you can learn to be more sequential and more organized, make life a lot easier, make the process a lot easier. So
maybe learn to listen a little bit more.
Learning to listen. We did a lot on forgiveness. I talk a lot about forgiveness. That's just mm-hmm. one of the things that people simply don't seem to grasp. So we talk a lot about that. So a lot about process. And so people get this information, and a lot of times they don't make good use of it. And why don't they make good use of it? It's because they have no purpose that guides the process. So that's so important. Many Christian couples seem to bifurcate their spiritual growth, and these separate seem to be separate issues. They treat conflict as completely a separate issue in spiritual growth, and they miss the benefit of the biblical applications for their specific situations. The process of marriage involves mastery of many practical tools, but they only really work in the context of God's process. So,
God's purpose.
Again, God's purpose. Thank you, Mark. So, these radio shows are going to be at the podcast, BibleBasedCounselor.com. I encourage you to go back and listen to both of them if you haven't. Next week, I'm going to be talking a bit more about process, but I'm going to be zeroing in. This is going to be a repeated radio show on relational distancing, which has to do with family of origin, and that might be of interest to a lot of people too.
Okay, always great stuff. People need help with their marriage or any other counseling issues. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will find this podcast. And also, I have offices Kirkland Edmonds, and I do Skype counseling as well.
Okay, always great stuff with Daniel Pryor, the life coach and counselor on the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.